Okay, I just wanted to say that this is, I'm presenting a piece of my dissertation research while I was at the University of South Carolina. So this is one aspect of that research. And I have no disclosures. So you guys probably already know this, but high-risk types of HPV have been identified in virtually all cervical cancer cases worldwide, and also other anogenital cancers. So 90% of anal cancers, 40% of vaginal, vulvar, and penile cancers, and 10% of oral cancers. And low-risk types of HPV have a linked to 90% of genital warts. And the high rate of HPV, the highest rate of HPV infection is found in college age populations, with the highest rates among non-Hispanic black women aged 20 to 24 years old. And although we don't have good prevalence data for HPV prevalence among black men, we can infer that the rates probably are high, given the highest rate is among non-Hispanic black women in that age range. So African Americans bear a disproportionate burden of cervical cancer, genital warts, and other HPV-associated diseases. And the approval of two vaccines to protect against 70% of cervical cancers has provided a new way to address some disparities in HPV health outcomes. So Gardasil, which was licensed in 2006 for women age 9 to 26, and recently last year licensed for men, also age 9 to 26. And we have another vaccine for women, Cervarix, that was also licensed last year for girls age 10 to 25. But the CDC recommends routine vaccination for women and men 9 to 26 years old, with the target age range of 11 to 12. So the HPV vaccines has the potential to reduce the acquisition of HPV as well as its health outcomes among both men and women. So few studies have examined the male perspective on HPV vaccine awareness, acceptance, and knowledge. Although there is a growing body of literature focusing on men, the majority of the literature has focused on cervical cancer prevention among women. Also, there has been limited research focused on predominantly black college populations. So given the recent approval of HPV vaccine for men and the limited focus of attention for predominantly African-American college populations, and it's important to understand both the male and female perspective on HPV-related issues among this population. So the purpose of the study was to assess gender differences in HPV knowledge, related health beliefs, vaccine acceptance, and also health information preferences among African-American college students. So as we begin to roll out the vaccine for men, it'll be important to understand where we might need to segment messages based on gender. So this was a non-probability cross-sectional survey, recruited both males and females from three historically black colleges and universities in South Carolina. So South Carolina as a whole has six historically black colleges and universities, and participants were recruiting from three of the six, age 18 to 26, self-identified as African American, and they were recruited from introductory classes. And also, it's important to note that the data were collected from January to May 2009. So this was before Cervarix was approved for women and before Gardasil was approved for men. So 63% of the sample was female, and 89% identified as heterosexual. The majority were enrolled full time, and the mean age was 20. 84% of the participants reported ever engaging in vaginal or anal sexual intercourse. Age at first sex was ranged between 9 to 22, with a mean of 16, which is similar to the state of South Carolina. Age at first sex is around 16, as is most states in the United States. 20% reported ever being diagnosed with an STI, sexually transmitted infection. 4% reported a prior HPV diagnosis. Of those, 60% low risk, 40%, 16% high risk, 40% low risk. So in terms of HPV and Pap test knowledge, 75% of participants heard of HPV prior to participating in the study. Males were significantly less likely to have heard of HPV. Males were also significantly less likely to, scored significantly lower on the HPV knowledge scale and also on the Pap test knowledge scale. So looking at health beliefs, this was guided by the health belief model. Males were less likely to think that HPV and HPV health outcomes was severe, less likely to perceive that there was a benefit for vaccination, perceived more barriers to vaccination, and reported less cues to action for vaccination. And we'll talk about why this may be so a little later. 71% reported ever hearing of the HPV vaccine, that is prior to participating in the study. Males were less likely to have heard of HPV, and that's a pretty huge percent difference. 76% reported acceptance of the HPV vaccine, and surprisingly, there was no gender differences in HPV vaccine acceptance. So looking at health information preferences, women were more likely to want to receive HPV information from their healthcare providers and pamphlets, whereas men were significantly more likely to want to receive HPV information from MySpace or Facebook. And some of the others, there were no significant differences. But the highest percentage was healthcare providers. So across males and females, they were more likely to want to receive information from their healthcare provider. So the findings of this study are consistent with previous research suggesting lower rates of awareness and knowledge among males. And given the specific, gender-specific nature of the Pap test, it was not surprising to find that Pap test knowledge was lower, but research does indicate that men can act as facilitators of promoting Pap test utilization of their female counterparts if they are equipped with the knowledge to do so. So on onset, this may seem like a strange concept or a strange measure to assess among men, but it has validity. Males also reported more unfavorable health beliefs as opposed to compared to females. And this is, again, largely due to the underrepresentation of males in the HPV literature. No gender differences in HPV vaccine acceptance, but knowledge of HPV was fairly low. So on a 10-point scale, the mean across groups was 5. So that would suggest that these participants, these students, aren't really equipped with the necessary information to make informed decisions about vaccination. And also, there might be opportunity for gender-specific dissemination of HPV information. So in the wake of social media, that might present an opportunity to reach segments of the population for health education and promotion efforts. So although college students aren't in the target age range for vaccination, that is that 11 to 12 year old age range, they are in the recommended age range, that upper limit of 26. And also, as college students are the next generation of parents, it, early intervention among the population can create a pipeline of acceptance. So we know that these women and men are the next generation of parents, so creating awareness and acceptance now can translate into future vaccine uptake as based on the evidence base of their children. It is also important that students are provided with information that is relevant and makes sense to them. So also that ties into informed decision making, making sure that the information is more likely to resonate with the population that you're working with. And also suggest that increased focus on males and HPV research, given the lower levels of HPV awareness, knowledge, and et cetera. study limitations, non-probability samples, self-report data, and we also attempted to sample men equal to women, but we fell short. So it was 63% women, so about 212 men as opposed to 363 women. And also keep in mind that data on men's beliefs and vaccine acceptance was hypothetical because at the time of data collection, the HPV vaccine for males was not yet licensed. So final thoughts, HPV is not a woman's disease, and incorporating or including men in HPV research has important implications for reducing stigma associated with disease acquisition among women, and also reducing the, in my opinion, the gender biased nature of HPV media. Okay, and acknowledgments to historically black colleges and universities who facilitated this research project, and all of my mentors who helped me to graduate. So that's it. Thank you.